So our first speaker is going to be our YAR speaker from Southern California. Name is Julia. If she can go ahead and Billy, if you can find her and get her off of mute, and we can turn the chat off now.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, Julia, all speakers will have about, 20 minutes to speak and just share your experience, strength, and hope with us. Welcome.
All right. Thank you so much. So as they said, hi, my name's Julia. My story, I'd like to crack a couple jokes. The first one being that I am alive because of alcoholism. And I mean that literally. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's this kind of thing in Al-Anon where it's called a 13th step. And it's when an older Al-Anon dates a person who's kind of a newcomer. My ex once made a joke that I'm the 14th step, which is the product of that relationship. And I've been saying that about myself ever since, because I just find it absolutely hilarious. And that's is I had a shoe-in in the program since before I was born. So even from a young child, I was always taught that I was allergic to alcohol because I knew that my family had these issues, but they wanted to give the information to me in a kid-friendly way. I'm very lucky that all of my immediate family is, except for one person, which I found out recently, sober. With at least 20 years to each of them. And I'm very happy for that. So back to how I was taught. I was taught that I was allergic to alcohol. I was taught that it was like a peanut allergy, that I just couldn't have it and that was that. And that caused a little bit of a slip up when I was a kid, when I was going into the first grade. And I asked my mom, because the cafeteria lady wanted us to give her our allergies. And so I asked my mom, I said, "Mom, do I have to tell them that I'm allergic to alcohol?" She goes, "No, I don't think they're going to have that there. You're fine." And I just, you know, I didn't think much of it. I was just like, "Oh, okay." Because I didn't really quite understand what alcohol was. You know, I live in a dry house. I've only had alcohol in my house twice in my life. And both of them were because someone gave my family alcohol, not realizing that none of them drank. And it just kind of sat in our house for months and months and months until they found someone else in their circle that was a non-alcoholic and just said, "Here, take it. You don't want it. We don't need it." When I was a kid, I was the kid at the AA coffee bars coloring while my grandmother was going to meetings. And that exposed me to a lot of different kinds of people, both on both sides of the program. And it kind of came into play with I always have had adults in my life. I'm the next oldest kid in my family is 19 or 20, and I'm 18 right now. So, you know, and they lived very far away. So I've always been around adults, and that has made me a lot more mature for my age. And that comes into play when I first started going to my own meetings at 9 years old. I went to a preteen meeting, and I didn't really see it as like a meeting. I saw it as like a hangout where I could just rant about the fact that this girl said this rumor about me, and now everyone thinks this fourth grade drama is real. And you know, I wanted a place to go screw whatever her name was. And that's where I went. When I was 10 years old is when I went to Alateen for the first time, because at the time the initiation age was 11, but I got voted in because like I said, I've always been around older people. So I kind of just grew out of preteen at 10, which sounds weird saying that out loud, but it's true. And going into Alateen was kind of scary, because even though, you know, mentally I was there, my issues were not their issues. I was in a room full of 17-year-olds talking about graduating and alcoholic partners and all this stuff. And I'm just like, I hate coloring and math sucks. Multiplication, not my thing. But they accepted me with open arms, and I'm so happy for that. When I was 12 is when I went to my first SCAC. It was in 2015, and I went there, and then the next year SCAC was around the time that my home meeting that I'd been to since I was 9 was starting to close due to lack of membership. And I didn't really have a backup meeting. That was, my thing that I went to, and I was really sad. But my higher power, had it out for me and was nice. And the person who drove me to SCAC in 2016 was the person in my now home meeting that I've been in since I was 13. Question mark, yes. I'm very happy that even though it took me a very long time to recognize that my higher power was there, that he was still, he still had a plan for me, even when I didn't believe he existed. My first alcoholic that was active in my memory, was a boyfriend that I had in 9th grade. And up until that point, even though I had been in program for 5 years, I didn't really work my program. I just went there, I had my friends, I talked to them, and I left. But being around an active alcoholic really shocked me because it was new. And it threw me into step work because in my brain, I was like, I am not going to survive this relationship without step work. I will go insane. And so I got a sponsor. And she gave me an autobiography to do. We ended up breaking up. A year went by. I didn't do the autobiography. 2 years went by. Didn't do it. 3 years went by. Didn't do it. I was actively avoiding it at that point because I knew that there was a lot I would have to write down. And a little bit before the pandemic started is when I realized that the sponsor that I had had it wasn't really working for me. She was the type to kind of sit back and let me do what I wanted. And I needed someone who was a little bit more like pushy with letting me do my things because I would forget otherwise. So I got a new sponsor and I started writing my autobiography, which was really emotional. It ended up being 8 pages long. And when I called her to read it, it took 30 minutes. It was interesting. And now where I am in my step work is I just got the go ahead to start working on my fourth step, but I am kind of avoiding it for the time being just because my mental health is not that great. And I know that if I were to start my fourth step right now, it would just be almost mental self-harm. Because I know that there's a lot that I'm going to have to work through in my fourth step. And that kind of goes back to me being grown up in program is I have always been very self-aware, almost to a fault because, my family, we're able to talk about a lot of things. We have our boundaries, but in terms of mental health, it's kind of like a joke, if that makes any sense. Like, when I was struggling through the beginning of the pandemic, I had had my first panic attack. And so I told my mother because I live with her. And her response was, I'm happy that you had it at 17 and not at 6, like I did. And that kind of like a joking way, not like a discrediting, but in my brain, it kind of went as discreditation, if that makes any sense. And that's kind of how it's been for me is, like, haha, I got issues, but I never have really done anything about it. And that's something that I'm working on right now. In terms of, when I mentioned before, that last person that I found out recently that is not sober, that is my dad. My dad and I kind of have a tricky relationship. He left when I was two. But he was still, he still visited, even though he didn't really have custody. He still wants to be in my life. But it's hard for me because I had to distance myself with love at a very young age. I had almost complete, I talk about, in my meetings when I was younger, I was talking about how when I was around like 10, every time that I would hear that he was coming into town because he's a long distance truck driver, I would cry from happiness because I really wanted to see him. And every time I would see him, it would be a disappointment because I expected this father figure, and he's not. He's a 14-year-old in a 60-year-old's body, and I just didn't get that at first. But by the time I was about 13, I kind of had it where, I stopped crying every time I heard that he was coming, and it was more like, okay, he's coming. I'm gonna see him and hope it goes well. And that's hard having to detach with love at such a young age, because it kind of set me up for this thing of like, I have a thing where my emotions are very here, there, everywhere, all over the place. And so sometimes I wonder if detaching so quickly was healthy for me. And that's something that I'm probably going to have to ponder on after I finish speaking, because yikes. And so when I was younger, my mom, she when the divorce happened, she was very much just, I want to get it over with, no complications, not fighting for anything in court, just my mom got full custody and my dad pays child support even though he's not court ordered. And because I didn't really get a lot of information on why my parents divorced, I filled in the gaps as a kid. And I don't know how I came up with this, but I thought that she divorced him because she stopped smoking and he didn't. And then I found out that that wasn't true. And then I thought that he left her because he was saving her from himself. And then I found out that that wasn't true. And it just, the bar went a little bit further and further until I went, okay, well, I know he left her and I know she's upset, but I still don't know why. And she did that on purpose. She wanted to, make sure that I still had a healthy relationship as much as I could with my father. And I love her for that. But when it's January, so 6, 7 months ago, a little bit before I turned 18, I went up to my mom and I was like, I'm ready to know. You can tell me. I already have my thoughts, but I promise you right now, I'm not going to let what you say affect my relationship with my father. And that's when I found out that he was unfaithful and that he left her. Midway through her pregnancy with me, and then came back. And that kind of threw me for a loop for a little bit because, I knew that he was sick, but I was like, okay. And so I took my time to process that. And I feel like I've mostly gotten over that because I've realized that, she's not upset anymore. So why should I be? Like, I'm fighting a battle that she doesn't even want to fight. And then that same day, I also found out that he was not sober when I was a baby, which for me was just out because I thought that everyone around me was sober for so many years. I thought, okay, well, at least he's sober now. And then a little, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I had my bi-weekly to monthly call with my dad, and he was talking about how someone else in my family who was in program was reaching out to him and questioning his sobriety. And I was like, there's a chance you might not be sober right now? What? And, you know, that's when I found out that he's an alcoholic who thinks he can have a half of a beer on Sundays, which for me was just a shock because I had this preconceived notion for a lot of my childhood. And so I'm processing that right now, still going through it, but I'm lucky that I found out now after I've had, you know, my detachment and everything like that. That way I'm not coming from a place of, you know, this is my father, blah, 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 blah. I'm coming from a place of, I have his genetics. You know, he may have been a factor in my birth, but he's not the man who raised me. And so I feel like that has helped me a lot in my processing of the information. And that's where we are now, is me doing that through, what's it? Starting my second semester of college in a couple of weeks. So a lot of things change, especially since the pandemic. And I know everyone was affected, but like in terms of my story with all of that, one thing I mentioned before, like my self-awareness is to a fault where I know what I'm doing, but I don't really do anything about it. And I was doing that with my own character defects for a very long time. And being in this pandemic and kind of losing all of my high school friends in the process because I was senior when everything started, it kind of forced me into this self-reflection, which, you know, in a way I'm grateful for, because I don't think I would have done that otherwise. I think I would have been so preoccupied with my life that my transition out of Alateen would have been so much harder without that, like, working on myself beforehand. But, you know, oh, and another thing that I hate to say it, but in a way I'm almost grateful for this pandemic happening, because it kind of was like, I was doing a lot of things. I've always been a person to spread myself out very thin and do 15 million things, but never really focus on one thing. And I feel like in terms of how it affected me, I see the craziness in this world as my higher power going, okay, no, you're going to calm down and stop doing all these things, and I'm going to make it so that you can't. And it was just that intervention that I could not have given myself otherwise. And there was a lot of things that happened, including my grandmother's death last year in May, that without that halt to my life, it would have broken me. And I think about that a lot, especially, you know, with my grandmother's death, that I had not been stuck at home, I would have gotten that call during school. And I don't know what I would have done. Because, you know, she was very important to me. And it was one of those situations where you knew she was sick, but you never really thought she would die, which sounds really shitty to say it out loud, but it's the truth. You know, and then one day it happened, and it just was a whirlwind of emotions and all that fun stuff. But, you know, even through all of these things in my life that have happened, I've always had program by my side. Even if I didn't want to truly accept it, even without me doing my step work, even with any of that, I still had, you know, my friends and the people that I would take care of, which in a way, kind of had some self-reflection in that as well. Because I've always been the type of person to reach out and help people. You know, like when newcomers come, I'm the first one to bug them. And sometimes I feel like I'm going to scare them away, but I don't really care. You know, and I just, and also doing all these things like speaking and chairing a convention. It's like I'm the chair of SFW that's happening. And all of these things, it's just like, even though I wasn't ready to do step work yet, my higher power made it so that when I was ready to, and you know, when I was ready to move out of Alateen and all that stuff, I had this network. And I know that even when I leave program and all of that, I'm gonna have this network for the rest of my life, which I'm very grateful for. And yeah, I don't really know what else to say. I don't know how much time I have left either. I've just been rambling. But
It's okay, Julia. Thank you so much for your share. You took up the perfect amount of time. Thank you.